open our hearts, we can find inspiration from God that will help us with our families. All the ones that are at home right now are with us. I'm very grateful to have them here tonight. To speak on this subject and not have the family along doesn't work very well, right? Oldest son, Brandon, his wife, they would have really enjoyed, actually not just enjoyed, they really wanted to come. But they have a family gathering out in Maryland this weekend and weren't able to come. But they would have enjoyed to be here too. Maybe I'll write the title on the board. I think many of you have seen it. If you received the flyer at all. I'm not sure how well this thing is writing. Molding a child's character. And if someone could get me a glass of water, that would be helpful. Molding a child's character. I'd like to speak on this subject tonight and tomorrow night, specifically on molding a child's character. And then on Sunday morning, looking at the subject of getting the heart of our child. And then on Sunday afternoon, specifically speaking about the subject of our youth, how to relate to our youth. And tomorrow afternoon, specifically on the subject of purity, how to raise our children and how to teach them the issues of life in areas of purity and how to help them grow up from a young age and be pure, as well as also how to determine when they come into the age of accountability and when they're ready to have a clear conversion. I'd like to do that tomorrow afternoon. Thank you, young man. Appreciate it. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I'd like to just begin by reading Psalms 127. I'd like to begin with reading there. Psalms 127 and verse 1 and chapter 128. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now, the subject that we're speaking about this weekend is a subject that's very dear to my heart. My wife and I, we enjoy our children very, very much. They're a tremendous blessing to us. They've been a tremendous blessing. I look at some of these verses here in chapter 128, and a couple twice in this chapter, it mentions the fear of God. I'd like to just somehow convey that we can talk a lot about training our children and doing a lot of things right. But there's something that I'd like to communicate. At the heart of everything, we are endeavoring to teach our children the fear of God. That there's a fear and trembling that our children have in viewing God and obeying God, being obedient and yielding themselves totally and surrendering their wills to God. There's something about the fear of God that I'd like to lift up here. Here it says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord." Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. There's something about the fear of God that, you know, we can, you as parents might do a lot of things wrong. But if somehow the children grow up with the fear of God, they will be able to walk in obedience to God and surrender their wills and move forward in service to God and obedience to God if the fear of God is in their hearts. I'd like to just lift this whole thing up. We're going to talk about a lot of things this weekend. But don't ever forget, at the bottom of everything is the fear of God. Today in our country, things have gotten pretty bad. There is very little respect for older people. Younger children grow up, youth grow up, there is no respect for adults. There's no respect for our elders. A respect is gone. There's very little respect for anyone. Selfishness is everywhere. I'd like to just take a step closer, and we know how things are in the world today. But I'd like to just relate something to you that I guess is a growing burden in my own heart. Over the years, I've preached in various Bible schools. and I'm going to be talking about, what I'm going to share here relates directly to all of us and the churches we fellowship out and abroad. It's not just limited to that. It's pretty well everywhere. But in preaching at various Bible schools and talking to young people, I sense a lot of youth that want to serve God, and that excites me. I appreciate seeing that. I love when there's young people growing up and they have a desire to go all out for God, and that's beautiful. But I like to raise the standard a little bit higher. The one troubling thing that every Bible school that I've ever preached at, and my children go to Bible schools and they come back and this is what I hear. They tell me, "Dad, you know, we're here in this prayer group and we talk about, you know, our personal struggles and the personal things. But Dad, there's very, very few youth out there that are able to totally open their heart to Mom and Dad and share everything. They want to have a relationship with Dad and Mom. They want to.
But somehow that gap is very broad. That gap is very broad. That doesn't say they aren't serving God. It doesn't say that they're not yielded and they want to serve God all the way. But I'd like to just put this thing out here. We'd like to talk more about this weekend. But it's very troubling for me that the majority of young people out there have a fear of opening their hearts to mom and dad all the way. They don't do it. And I'd like to just ask the question, why is that? So you think about that in these coming days as we continue to talk about the subject. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6 says these words, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers." This is a prophecy. Actually, he goes on to say, "Lest they come and smite the earth with a curse." This is a prophecy of John the Baptist in preparation for Jesus coming. And he said that when John the Baptist comes and his preaching of repentance, there's going to be a turning of the hearts of the fathers to their children. And there's also going to be a turning of the hearts of the children toward their fathers. And he says these words, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And so tonight, we want to talk specifically about molding the character of our children between the ages of childbirth and 10 years old, roughly in those time frames. I'd like for us to consider that there is a need to bring our children to a willing obedience. There's a need for us to bring our children, and we're talking about starting at a young age, bringing our children to a willing obedience. There's a need for us to somehow do that. And I know that many of us are asking the question, and how do we do all that? And some of those, some of us maybe have mastered it a little bit more, and others not as well. But I'd like for us to consider that it's God's will that our children grow up in subjection to their father and their mother. Now the Bible says, "Children, obey your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. This is the only commandment in Scripture that's directly given to the children. Children, obey your father and your mother. And it's the first commandment with promise. It says that it may be well with you. I'd like for us to consider that this idea of children learning to obey father and mother is of utmost importance. And I don't know how to explain all that. But I'd like for us to consider that children growing up who continually, day after day, they disobey mom and dad, they disobey mom and dad, they disobey mom and dad. And one day, when they come to the age of accountability, God's going to be knocking on their heart. And when God knocks on their heart, they have said no to mom and dad. They've said no to mom and dad. They've said no to mom and dad. And guess what they're going to do to God one day? I believe it's for that reason that God is so very, very jealous about this whole subject of children walking in subjection and obedience to their parents. And I know in society today, those things are very much looked down upon. Children need to have the freedom to make their own choices and make their own decisions and all those kind of things. But the Bible says, "Children, obey your father and your mother." Children, obey your parents. And there's something about a young child who grows up from a young 1, 2, 3, 4-year-old all the way up through, who grows up to be a teenager. And they have learned to consistently yield their will to mom and dad. And then when God knocks on their hearts, guess what they will do? They will again surrender their will. Subjection, submitting their will, surrendering. And if you look at all the things that the Bible talks about us as adults and how we need to obey and surrender our wills and yield our lives to Christ, I like to lift up this whole idea of children learning to obey their parents is of utmost importance. It's of utmost importance. Because one day, God will call. And when God calls, then the choice is theirs. It troubles me at times. It troubles me at times to hear many of the testimonies of youth coming to God. And they will share how that God started talking to me. And I just sort of shrugged it off. Right? And we hear that, don't we? Right? God started calling me, and I just sort of shrugged it off. And a year went by, and God would continue to call me, and I just pushed it aside. And youth will go, youth, whatever ages it might be, young people will often go for a couple years without surrendering. And I like to just suggest to you that that's not necessary. I believe you'd agree with me. And I like to suggest that this whole idea of children, bringing our children to submission at a young age, if we're able to communicate that with them and they walk in obedience and surrender to their mom and dad, and when God starts calling them one day and He knocks on their hearts, they will again just say, yes. And I say this carefully, very carefully, but we've had the privilege of our five oldest children coming to that place, you know, as a young teenager in God, knocking on their heart. And they have not closed their heart, and they haven't pushed it off. But the day that God knocked on their hearts, they came to mom and dad and said, God is starting to call us. God is starting to call us. And as we talk and we shared and we help them come to salvation and a full surrender to Jesus Christ, there's nothing more beautiful than that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I need to move forward here. In this whole thing of obedience, it's a journey. It's a journey, and our children are different. They'll respond different. And you can't put it in a nice little package. There's some children that are stronger natured. And it takes a lot of persistence from mom and dad to bring them to a place of where they surrender their will. And I'm going to say that moms and dads, these things need to happen at a young age. These things need to happen at a young age. And if we haven't conquered it at a young age and they come up into their teenage years, it's much more difficult. It's not impossible. But I'm going to say it's much more difficult if our children... If our children at a young age, we bring them to the place where they surrender. I remember the day when one of our boys, he's a young boy yet, wasn't very old, he's a couple of years old. But I remember that phone call from my wife, and she was crying on the other side of on the other end of the line. And she was expressing to me the struggle that was going on with one of her boys. And how she wanted to discipline him. And how that in that endeavor things just went awry. And I remember coming home that night. And I remember the things that we went through. And it wasn't just a one-time situation where, okay, now we give a spanking, now everything's clear. But it was one of those things where there was a journey in bringing that young man over a course of a couple weeks. When we sought God and we went after his heart and we disciplined, and it was a journey to bring him to the place over here where there was a full surrender, where he just cheerfully surrendered. And there was a cheerful obedience. And there was a willingness to surrender his heart. It's not always the same. Not always the same. Immediate obedience without talking back. Our children ought to come to the place where there's immediate obedience without talking back. And let me tell you that some of those things, they have to start when they're young. And you can still get it if you're here tonight and some of those things are a struggle and they're a little bit older. It'll just be a harder challenge. But I'd like to suggest that the way to start some of these things is at a very young age, where we bring our children to immediate obedience without talking back. In fact, we start when our children start walking as far as the immediate obedience. And let me just give you some little stories of what we do. Our children come to the place where they start walking and they sort of walk all over the place. You know how they do. Things are sort of, in the household, they have to watch the flowers and you have to watch everything else, you know. But okay, once they can get around good, we make deliberate decisions to bring that child to immediate obedience. That's what we do. I come home from work, and I will spend a number of evenings, actually a couple weeks, where we come in the living room, and I sit down on the floor. And our youngster is just starting to walk, and you know he can sort of get around, and you know he likes to run and all kinds of stuff. So he's sitting over by the toys, and as he's sitting over there by the toys, just 3 feet away, And I say, Kennard, am I allowed to use your name? I say, Kennard, would you please come to Daddy? And he's only 3 feet away. And he sort of looks at me, and then he comes running. Oh, I bless him. So he goes over and starts playing again. And guess what happens? You know, next time I do it, it's not as fun anymore. And he's over there playing, and I'm only 3 feet away. And I say, hey, Kennard, can you come to Daddy, please? Come. Guess what he does? Right? You've seen that, right? Okay. So this is child training, right? This is child training. So I reach over and just give him a little swat on his leg. Just a little swat. You know, not hard, but enough that, you know, he knows. And I say, yeah, come. And then he comes. And, oh, I bless him. So a little bit later, he's playing again. He's over there. And, you know, I'm just close. You know, this is new stuff, okay? And I sit 3 feet away, say, hey, Kenner, would you come, please? Would you come, Daddy? And his face sort of clouds, and, ooh. You know how it goes? Okay? And so So what do? You just reach over and give him a little swat, you know, and you come closer. And come daddy. And you know how it goes, okay? And let me tell you, we do that for an hour every evening. And we do all kinds of scenarios. He can be across the room somewhere else. And he can be anywhere. And I say, hey, Kenneth, come to daddy, please. And he comes running. You do that consistently, brothers. You do that consistently for a couple weeks at that age. And let me tell you, you never have that struggle anymore. On rare occasions, it might pop up and you remind them and everything's taken care of. They're learning immediate obedience. Sometimes we have this idea that everything is through spanking. And spanking, there's a need. And actually, we're going to be talking about all that. But at a young age, if you would take a child that age, if he disobeys and you take him into the bedroom and give him a spanking, by the time you come to the bedroom, he has no clue why he's getting a spanking. No clue. No idea. We're training the will of that child. Immediate obedience willingly. Let me just tell you, learning some of those things at a young age is huge. Teaching our children immediate obedience is of utmost importance. Here's another one. Even on up through, it's very important that we have clear expectations with our children. This is what often happens in many homes. We tell our son and our daughter, we tell them, okay, it's time to wash the dishes. And 10 minutes later, nothing has happened. And guess what happens? Mom and dad, there's a frustration rises up in the heart of mom and dad. Why didn't they go wash the dishes? And then all of a sudden, we ask the question, well, did they hear? Did they hear? And, you know, you relate to that, right? Well, you know, and we're not sure if they heard or not. I like to just encourage us that taking a couple steps of clarity will take all the confusion away. There ought to be an expectation that we can come to our children and we can tell them, Josh, it's time to wash the dishes. And he responds back, okay. And then you have a clear expectation. There's no question. There's an instruction given, and there's a response back from the child. And if that response comes back from the child, the expectation is very clear. And if there's a disobedience, and then there is a reasonable correction or punishment if there's disobedience. And it takes away the frustration. Many times there's this just yelling out a command without a response back. And there's no clear expectation, or there's an expectation, and yet we don't know if the child has connected with the direction that's been given. Or we can very easily just have a clear expectation. We tell our children, okay, we haven't had this up to this point, but from this time on, we're expecting, if we give you an instruction, we expect you to respond back, okay, or to have some kind of response that we know that you heard. That we know you got it. And that you're making the commitment to move forward. Immediate obedience. If there's not obedience, then there's a need for discipline. There's many moms and dads that this happens. Josh, it's time to do the laundry. Time to go do chores. No comment. And a minute later, Josh, time to do the chores. Okay. Josh, and the level of frustration is rising in the parents. I like to just tell us, brothers and sisters, there ought to be one clear instruction, and if there's not immediate obedience, then there's discipline. There's no need to have all these frustration going on when there's instruction and direction given. And when the instruction and the direction is given and it's not followed, then the parents will raise their voice, and then they'll raise their voice. And guess what? The children are learning at what level, how far they can come, how far they can push mom and dad before they really need to obey. They know that normally, they can go one or two times, mom and dad telling them, and then once it's raised to the third level, and there's a level of frustration there, then they know, okay, now it's time for me to do it. But I'd like to just tell you, if we're doing that, moms and dads, we are teaching them that when God calls them, they can wait three times before they have to obey. Do you follow? Expect immediate obedience. I'd like to spend some time this evening talking about biblical discipline, correction / spanking. In our society today, in most states, it's outlawed. Spanking is outlawed. In most states, some of those things, actually, I'm not aware of any state that looks favorably upon those things of spanking. In fact, it's not only out there, but within the Anabaptist churches, there is a growing pushback on the whole idea of spanking our children because it ruins them. That idea is raising. And I like to just tell us that the Bible tells us otherwise. And we'd like to look at some of those verses tonight. But some of the ways that it's affecting us most specifically is it's coming in through adoption. It's coming in through foster care. And some of these people need to go and listen in order to adopt. They need to listen in order to foster. And with all that, there are some of these ideas and strategies are coming into the Anabaptist circles. And I'd like to just say that is not God's will. It's not God's heart. God has a way that He wants us to be giving correction, and it's His way. So, what I'd like to do this evening is go... I don't know if you've ever heard a preacher do this, but I like to just walk through a spanking session. Could we do that? Could we do that? Just being very practical. Just walk through a spanking session. And you might ask the question, well, what ages do children need a spanking? And I'm going to say it varies from child to child. And it varies on the frequency. But coming up into the 10, 11, 12 age range, I'm going to say it's pretty minimal. It ought to be, a child ought to be in those ages, they ought to be at a place where those things are happening very minimally, and there's a strong, strong direction going on. And yet, if some of those things aren't there, there's sometimes a need for that. But I'd like to propose the idea that in many, many homes, and many even here tonight, I'm going to say that there is many homes that you all grew up in, and the discipline that was administered was not ideal. And yet, it possibly put some fear of God in you, maybe some holy fear of God. And yet, it didn't do what it was supposed to do. I'd like to suggest this evening that a spanking given in its proper way and proper order ought to draw the heart of the parent and the child together. And if it's not doing that, there's something wrong. I'm going to say that, you know, sometimes with that little journey that I shared, sometimes it takes a little bit to come through a little valley or a dip or whatever. But the overall gist of a spanking ought to be bringing the heart of parents and the child together. In fact, every time that a spanking is administered, we talk with this, to our children. You know, this spanking is intended to help you remember. It's intended to clear your conscience so you can be happy again. You know how children are. If they've disobeyed, they're sad. They're, you know, there's a heaviness there. They're frustrated. They're just, you know, and there's a guilty conscience. A spanking will clear the conscience of a child like nothing else will. The Bible tells us that. The blueness of the wound. I need to read it here. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, "The blueness of the wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly." Isn't that a good one? Moms and dads, we love if we've done something wrong. We love if our conscience is cleared. We come to God and we confess our sin, and God washes our sin away, and whew, we have a clear conscience. A spanking will clear the conscience of a child like nothing else will. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says these words, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." Wow, those are strong words. Listen to this. "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And chasteneth him betimes means early and diligently. It's not just something that you flippantly do. "He that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes," or early or diligently, if we love our son. Well, let's just consider how to spank a child. A child should always receive a spanking in private. It should never be out where the other children are seeing what's happening. And let me just walk through some of the steps. And let me just tell you that what I'm going to describe to you, I'm not here saying that that is the only way or the perfect way. But I like to what I'm going to describe to you, I'm going to tell you that in the hearts of our children, it has helped knit our children to my wife and I. And it has helped bring a fear of God. It has helped them to obey us when we tell them to do something. It's drawn our hearts together. It's cleared their conscience. And it has worked very effectively. So I'm not saying this is the only way, the only way of administrating it. But I'd like to give you a little glimpse of something that has worked very effectively for us. The Bible uses the word rod. And if you look at the word rod, a rod is normally something small and round. Something that smarts. We ourselves, we use a little bit wider, very thin paddle. Not a thick, bulky. It ought to be something that smarts. The idea is not to beat the child. The idea is to bring a smarting. And it ought to be at the right place. A smarting to the child to where it hurts, but it's not injurious to the body. It might get black and blue, but it's not injurious to the body itself. But the idea is for it to smart. So a child has disobeyed, and we go into the bedroom. And we close the door, and we sit down. And if the child is young, we'll have the child on our lap. A little bit older, we might sit him or her beside us, or you know, if it's in, you know, even a little bit older, sometimes they sit on our lap. But the first thing that we talk about is, do you know why you're getting a spanking? Often it's yes. You know, normally it's yes. And so we just talk about, you know, Mama told you that you need to go wash the dishes. Or, you know, the attitude that you had toward the other boys, you know, you weren't being respectful. And we had told you that you need to be respectful, but you haven't been respectful. And so because you weren't respectful, you had a bad attitude, or because you disobeyed, because you do that, we're going to need to give you a spanking to help you remember to change your ways. And by this time, you know, child is, you know, they're crying a bit. So normally we have them kneel across a chair or bed. We'll have them kneel there. And I like to just say that child needs to be taught to kneel respectfully and receive the disciplinary action, the spanking, without tearing around, without kicking, without, you know, flaying their hands, but just they can be taught that they lay there and receive the discipline. And if they don't, they'll receive another discipline. There's a clear expectation. I've seen some horrible things over the years where children have been totally, totally out of order. And they flay around, they thrash around, and it's just a horrible commotion. And what is intended to happen never happens. So the child kneels, and they receive a spanking. And as they receive a spanking, many times there's tears coming down Dad's eyes. I don't like to give my son a spanking. In fact, I'll tell him that, son, I don't like to give you a spanking, but the Bible tells us that if a child disobeys, then you need a spanking. Now, the Bible tells us that. And so we're obeying the Bible. And son, if you receive a spanking after you're done, it'll help you remember. It'll help you to remember not to disobey next time, and it'll make you happy. And so, you know, it hurts. It hurts. It has to hurt. It's intended to hurt. Hebrews says that every son whom he loveth, he scourges and chasteneth him betimes. And he says that if he doesn't do that, he's a bastard. So it's a loving father's heart to administer the discipline of spanking. You might ask the question, well, how many whacks do you give? Well, that can vary. Often it's around a dozen, maybe. Sometimes if something has happened that needs more discipline or action, there's more. But there they are, and they lay quietly. They're taught. They're instructed and expected. And if they don't, there's consequences for not laying and receiving the discipline. So there, they've received the discipline, and they get up. And there's tears in their eyes, and there's tears in my eyes. And so we sit down again, and we pray. Sometimes we kneel, sometimes we sit. And I'll pray first, and I'll pray to God, and I ask God that somehow God in heaven would put the fear of God in their hearts, and that God would also help them to surrender and to submit to Mom and Dad and to obey us, and that God would also help them to, when they grow up, surrender their will to God. And then they also pray. They pray. I pray. They pray. And when we're done, we sing a song together. We sing a song. Normally they pick a song. And just him and I will sing a song. And by the way, normally you'll hear this word, him and I, the boys and I, because we've got seven boys, you know, and one girl. But we'll sing a song together. And after that, I'm apt to maybe start talking to him about, you know, some things that they enjoy. and we have a nice little talk yet. And by the time we walk out of the bedroom, everything's clear. They're happy. They're at rest. They go and apologize to whoever they've wronged. If they've wronged mom, if they've wronged one of their siblings, they go back and apologize. But everything's clear. They're happy. And they're affirmed by dad. Son, I love you. I love you. I'm so blessed. I'm so glad you're my son. Do you get the picture? At an administration of a discipline of the rod in this manner brings the hearts of the parents and the child together. It clears the conscience and it helps bring the fear of God into their life. There's clear expectations. Never, never spank your child in anger. Never. Mom and dads, if you sense that anger rising up in you, and you know your child needs discipline, I'd like to encourage you, the way to handle that is to even tell your son or daughter to go into the bedroom and that you'll come after a little bit. Then you go into another room and you pray to God and you find a peace and a rest in your heart before God before you walk into that room to give them a spanking. A child that senses that his parent is angry with him will rebel. And that bowing of the heart, that yielding, and that meshing together between parent and child won't ever happen with an angry parent. It won't happen. They'll fear you, but it'll push them away from mom and dad rather than coming together. Don't ever give your child a spanking when you're angry. Neither should you just push them aside. If they need a spanking, you make that it happens, but you first deal with your own heart. You know, sometimes, you know, something has come up, and our child, you sense a resistance in their hearts. You sense a resistance. And if you sense a resistance in your heart, and they go out and they're not clear, you just watch. And if it happens again, you just bring them back in again. I'd like to just encourage us that when some of those things happen, we need to persist and to break through. One of the most, I'm not sure how to say this, moms and dads, but sometimes we have this, dads, we have this child needs to just, you know, give up and all that. But I found that one of the most effective ways to get to the heart of that child is to, when we as moms and dads, we connect with them on a heart level. And if I say connect with them, we know that it'll hurt them. And we know they haven't given up, so they even need a harder spanking. And I've knelt beside our children, and I've given them spankings with dad crying as hard as a child. And because my heart aches for them. And as I do what God has instructed me to do, and yet I do it with a heart of compassion and love, there's something that connects with that child, and that child connects and surrenders their will and opens their heart. And if we're stoic and don't have feeling and emotion, and we just do our own thing because they've disobeyed, it doesn't reach the child near as quick. Sometimes in order to get through, dad needs to break his heart in order to get through. Spanking is primarily a correction, not just a punishment. And I don't know if I can communicate this right, but spanking is primarily a correction, and not just a punishment. I don't know if you can see the difference, but we have an end goal in mind. Our end goal is that this child learns to obey mom and dad and then learn to obey God. And so this spanking that we administer is a corrective measure to turn the heart of that child. That this child was going in this direction, and we're specifically administrating this discipline or this spanking to change the course of the child. It's primarily a correction as well as a punishment. It should never be viewed as just a punishment. You've disobeyed, so you receive a punishment. But it ought to be viewed as it's intended to change the course of the child. Spanking ought to be used for disobedience. Spanking ought to be used for clear disobedience. Here's some of the things that sometimes come up. Is the difference between dad's spankings and mom's spankings. Children, does dad spank different than mom does? There'll always be some difference there. But there ought to be a place where it's pretty similar. Fairly similar. And not only similar, there ought to be a clear expectation from both mom and dad on these issues. Mom and dad have to be together. And I'm not here this weekend to talk about husband and wife, order and relationship and all that. That's a totally different subject. But I'd like to just throw this out. If a husband and a wife are not together at heart, and if a husband and a wife are not united in heart, your ability to teach and train your children is going to be very difficult. And there's going to be a divided affection and all kinds of issues that come out of if mom and dad are not together at heart. All that to say, discipline ought to be fairly similar. And if dad makes a decision on discipline, there ought to be a clear respect to that from mom's part. And if mom even has concerns about something that happened or didn't happen. And if I could say it this way, if a mom knows something, if a dad makes a decision and dad goes and gives a spanking to a child and mom knows something that she didn't know, it's better to allow dad to go and give the child discipline. And then in private, mom come and share what she knew. And if there's something wrong that was done, the dad comes back and says, "I'm sorry. I made a wrong decision." Mom and dad are together. And the children need to know that mom and dad are together. Mom and dad are together on this whole subject of discipline and training our children. They need to be together on the direction that's being taken on these issues. Let me just tell you that a spanking and discipline that's done properly is not a, sure how to say it. Let's give you a story. Now, some years back, one of our children, actually Martha and I were gone for the evening. We had a friend of ours, a girl in our home taking care of the children while we were gone. And so we were all, Martha and I were gone, and so they were having supper, and one of the boys, he disobeyed the girl that was watching over him. And this girl sort of threw out a little threat, and she said, "Oh, do you think I should give you a spanking?" And guess what he said? He said, "Yeah." Now, he was pretty young. He was, I'm just going to say, probably 3 or 4 at the time.
But she sort of threatened him, and when she did that, he said yes, and she, all of a sudden, she was realizing what she had gotten herself into, and so she asked, "Well, do you think you should have a spanking?" "Yeah." "Well, where's the paddle?" "In the living room." "Do you know where should we go?" And, you know, he told her everything that needed to happen. And so she was stuck. She took him into the bedroom and gave him a spanking. Everything was fine. Okay. A child, well-disciplined and trained, knows when they need to have their conscience cleared. They know when they've disobeyed. And they're open to receive that. And there doesn't have to be... It's not necessary, all this commotion and all this stuff going around that often happens around spankings. No, it's not necessary. A young child with minimal comprehension. I'd like to just take a couple quick minutes here and talk about children with minimal comprehension. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but we need to be sensitive to our younger children, what they're connecting. A child has to know what they're being spanked for. And so, there's a lot of parents that when there's a young child in the house, they put these things, you know, across all the doorways so they can't, open the cabinets, and they can't, and empty out all the cabinets, and all the flower pots, get moved up, and everything gets child-proofed. I'd like to just tell you that creates a lot of frustration, because guess what happens first time you go to someone else's house? It's all of a sudden it becomes a nightmare. Children can very quickly be trained in all of those issues the same as what I described with the come. They need to be trained. It's a matter of training. And that's often at a young age, that's not by giving a spanking sometimes. But often at a young age, it's a matter of walking over, taking them to the plant, or taking them over to what they've just done and telling them. And then giving them a little swat, and they cry, and then close the door. Or if they've gotten some dirt out, you take them over and give them a spanking, right there. The real spanking that I just described comes as you get a little bit older. I've seen a lot of parents come to church on a Sunday morning, and they sit, and the child, sort of cries and stuff, and they take the child downstairs and out, and give them a spanking. And I know that the child, by the time they got their spanking, they had no clue what they were getting spanked for. Here's another way to help some of those younger situations. Moms and dads, at home when we have devotions with our families and we sit down and open the Bible, that is an excellent time to teach our children to sit. And just the other Sunday I had one of the brothers, he was downstairs with his young man and trying to sort through how to handle him, because he sat in church, and as soon as he sat down, he was, fussing and carrying on. And so he walked out, and as soon as he was up, out and downstairs, all of a sudden the child was quiet again. And he got what he wanted. Right? One of the ways to help a young child surrender their will is by sitting them on your lap. And I'm talking about a one-year-old. I'm talking about even a nine-month-old, or, maybe not 9 months, but around a year old, 2 years, in that age somewhere, where they're, their comprehension is just, it's all there. You sit down and you hold them on your lap, hold both hands and their feet, and make that they can't go, all over the place. And so they have to sit there. And guess what happens? All of a sudden they yield their will. Right? Now, those are just some small ways when their comprehension isn't there. Our goal is to help that child surrender their will. But teaching them to sit in church, a lot of that can be taught at home during devotions. It really helps with a lot of that. Consistency. Now, one of the reasons that children often disobey parents is because parents are not consistent. Okay? Let me just explain. In our home, maybe we are asking them not to run in the house. Okay? I'm just throwing something out. Maybe we're asking them not to run in the house. So we give them a spanking, and we give them a spanking, and so we're almost at the place where they've learned not to run. And then all of a sudden we're busy and everything else is gone, and they start running in the house again. And for 2 days they're allowed to run in the house, and all of a sudden mom says, okay, it's time to stop again. You know what we're teaching our children? We're teaching our children that it's okay sometimes to disobey God. We're also teaching them that we don't know when we can disobey and when we can't. And so the disobedience part just sort of unwinds. And if we're not consistent with our expectations and discipline, our children will not learn to consistently obey. Consistency is extremely important. Here's another one. Lying ought to be a much stiffer discipline than other disobedience. The Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth forever. And if lying takes people to hell, then lying is something that we dare not tolerate. And there ought to be a clear expectation with our children. There ought to be a clear expectation that lying is one of those things that if we find out that you lie, the discipline that you receive will be greater than the other disciplines. Because the Bible says that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And son, I don't want you to go to hell. And we're going to help you. By God's grace, we're going to help you to come to the place where you're always honest and you're open and you say the truth. Lying, sins of that nature ought to be a clear reflection of a stiffer, more fervent direction of correction. Because the Bible says that liars, all liars, will have their part in the lake of fire. Revelation 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, we were babysitting for some children. There's a family that we were reaching out to for some time, and there's a time that the mom and dad, they had surrendered their life to God. They had been very strong Hindu, and God did some miraculous healings for this man. He had become converted. They made a decision to serve God. There are some wonderful things that happened. And for various reasons, they came to the place where they turned away from God again and went back to their Hindu religion. But their family spent a lot of time in our home over the years. And they have a young girl that was almost like our daughter. She was at her place many, many days. And one of the things that as we, you know, encountered even after they had turned away from God and they had gone their own way, one of the things as we talked with this young girl, one of the things that she talked about, she says that, you know, sometimes she'd lie. And we would discipline her. And in our presence, when she was in our home, there's a clear obedience. She had more respect for us than she did for her parents. We brought clear direction and discipline and correction, and she loved us. And she loves us to this day. They're living in another city a couple hours away, and they still come around periodically. But this young girl, at about the age of 3 years old, she say, "But Mom lies. I know Mom lies." And yet, when she was at our home, she made specific effort. We talked to her about these things, and we disciplined her for these things. And then she'd say, "But, you know, but Mom lies. Mom lies." Children know their parents. Children know what's going on in the hearts of their parents. And children, parents, they know you. Might as well just be totally honest. And if we fail them, if we fail our children, we need to go to them and just be honest. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to open ourselves, confess, apologize for the things that we have done. And they will respect us. Even if it's bad decisions, whatever it might be, we need to come and open ourselves to them. Proper discipline works, and it helps bring our children to a place where they one day will yield their hearts to God. Lord bless you.